You're listening to View from the Couch, a podcast about TV, movies, DVD, and just about anything from parents with children. And now, your hosts, Kent and Michelle.
Hello there, and welcome to View from the Couch for Wednesday, October 13th.
I woke you. Sorry, I woke
a little.
You.
That's okay.
I pressed record, and
I wasn't quite ready.
I should have gone.
Bye.
And three.
Yes, you should have.
And go. See, the 2-1 is...
If you were a real radio...
guy.
Yeah. Or even TV.
Okay, we're on in 5, 4... And point.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yes.
What is happening with you? Same thing that's happening with me, because we're joined at the hip, pretty much.
Yeah. We had some Thanksgiving turkey.
We did.
We had some laughs and... We had some good other food, and we had some good desserts, and we had some good times with family.
With good people?
Yeah, it was all good.
Hopefully everyone enjoyed their Thanksgiving. It was not bad at all.
It was quite pleasant out.
I took Friday off, so I had an actually 4-day weekend.
Yes, lucky you. And I worked Friday and Saturday.
Oh.
Luckily I had Sunday, Monday off, though. That was good.
I feel like I need to sleep for a year.
Yeah, you look like you need to sleep for a year.
Thank you. That hurts.
Yes, Kent is joining the staff of Grey's Anatomy this evening. We will be calling him McCrappy.
McCrappy.
This is how he's feeling.
Yeah,
McCrappy.
I've got a sore shoulder.
Too
and
much McCoffee.
Headache and stress. Oh. Oh.
What do you do? You know, and... Emily has homework tonight, lots of homework, and she has dancing for over an hour, and I have to supervise.
We need to sell our house, buy a bigger motorhome, and just drop out of life.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Except we could only drive 3 miles down the road, and then we'd be stone cold broke.
Maybe not quite that far.
No.
We could probably get, I don't know, southern U.S. Then we could just... plant ourselves in
live out of a dumpster.
Louisiana somewhere. And
in Louisiana. Why Louisiana? You like gator, do you?
It just came to me.
Tastes like chicken. Tougher, but tastes like chicken.
I've never been to the southern U.S. I'd like to go sometime.
I've been to Florida. Yeah, I haven't been...
Well, I guess we stopped over in Florida very briefly. I saw the airport. But I mean like the southern, the south.
Southern, like Louisiana.
The deep south.
Louisiana,
yeah.
Tennessee.
Yeah. Texas.
I don't think Texas is south.
Yeah, sure it is. It's right on the border with Mexico. You can't get any further south than that.
Somebody could correct her. Yeah, I suppose. I suppose that's true. I suppose that's true.
It's actually right on the... See, that's the weird thing. When I think about Texas, I don't usually technically think about beach, but they're right on the Gulf of Mexico.
Sure.
They have a whole side of their state.
Whole bunch of beaches, if you'll pardon the expression.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, how did we get on that topic?
I don't know. You talked about the deep south something.
All right, back on topic.
So what was that?
Oh, that was the whip.
Cracking the whip. What's the Halloween plan?
Well,
great organizer.
I think we've decided that we're going to have Emily's birthday party on Halloween night and take her birthday party trick-or-treating.
Because we're cheap and someone else can fill their goodie bags.
Exactly. And they'll be outside, they can make all the noise they want, and they
That's
won't
right.
making me crazy.
And it'll be dark, we could lose a couple of them. Just
yeah,
be irresponsible.
Okay, this is what I need from our listeners.
Okay.
I cannot foresee there being a really big downside to this at all, So if someone out there is seeing a huge pitfall in this plan that I'm missing that could lead to disastrous results.
Or legal implications.
Yeah, we need to know this now. So
I'm staying home. I'm staying home watching dumb horror movies in the basement.
Before we go any further with this evil plan, we need to know that we're not going to get blindsided.
Hey, you guys, great idea.
Terrible,
but did you consider
Exactly. This? Yeah. See, I'm thinking it's all good. Exactly. They're getting free candy.
It's dark. You lose children. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, well, I'll put glow sticks on them.
Spray them all day glow colors.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, you're number 12.
Yeah. So I'm not worried about losing anybody. They're old enough to, I mean, the most of them will be
They're
10.
Old enough to learn from getting lost. They're old enough to learn from their mistakes.
They're old enough to stick together. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
So I'm not worried about losing anybody. I'm not worried about anybody darting into the street. They're old enough to look both ways. So, yeah. I mean, the only downfall could be attendance, but that's not necessarily a bad side.
Wow. You're really going to ruin this birthday for her, aren't you?
If she ends up with three girls that come, that's great. That's lovely. That's wonderful.
That's three more than I need. Three more than I'd like to entertain.
So anyway, if I'm missing anything really disastrous, I need to know. So help me out. Emails will be appreciated.
Let us know.
Now, moving on. Are we moving on?
Yeah, let's go on to Couch Entertainment News. Well, recently speaking with Empire magazine, Mark Ruffalo says he intends to play Bruce Banner beyond Marvel's upcoming The Avengers film. Did I tell you he's replacing Ed Norton?
I don't know.
Did I tell you that?
Oh, yeah, you did.
So he's playing Bruce Banner. They set up several pictures over a couple of years, and possibly there'll be another Incredible Hulk movie. There'll probably also be a couple more Avengers 2, which would be fun, says Ruffalo. The actor talked briefly about his plans for the role. The way I see it, Edward Norton has bequeathed this role to me. I reckon the part is my generation's Hamlet, and there's still some room for interpreting who the Incredible Hulk is.
Alrighty. Because he's deep, man.
On to reimagining. I'll smash you. Hulk smash. 300 and Watchmen director Zack Snyder has been chosen to direct the Plaguers relaunch of the Superman film franchise, as Warner Brothers and Legendary Pictures reported recently. Negotiations kicked off earlier with Snyder, who beat out the rumored likes of Ben Affleck, Darren Aronofsky, Matt Reeves, Tony Scott, and Robert Zemeckis for the gig.
Did you say Superman?
Yes.
Oh, for crying.
I told you to plug yours. General Zod is being rumored to play the villain in the project, which the Dark Knight director Christopher Nolan will serve as producer on, while David Goyer, who wrote Batman Begins, is penning the script.
So I can't believe anyone even cares anymore.
One possibility already shot down, though, is that Brandon Routh returning as the Man of Steel will not happen. Snyder told Variety magazine that the chances of the Superman return star coming back into the fold are unlikely as, quote, we're looking in a different direction. How about looking in a different film direction?
That's right. Why don't you make up something original. New?
Yeah.
How's that for a plan?
After several studios failed in their attempts to adapt the property several years ago, DreamWorks Pictures is having a go at getting a film based on the Halo video game franchise off the ground. To avoid any possible legal difficulties in regards to the previous failed attempts, studio is apparently looking into adapting some of the many novelizations set in the Halo universe. Sounds like a dud. At this point, no writer has been hired. Though still interested in making a movie, game owner Microsoft isn't keen on this attempt, with a source close to the company saying it's a gigantic waste of time because Microsoft doesn't want anything to happen in any other media that could screw up a multi-billion dollar franchise. No kidding. The attempt comes after the hugely successful launch of the game, new game title Halo Reach, which pulled in $200 million on launch day. Wow. And demonstrated that interest in the franchise remains at sky-high levels.
And now you have to ask me my opinion on that.
What do you think about Halo Reach being made into, or the Halo franchise being made into a movie? Couldn't care less.
I have no thoughts on that at all.
No thoughts. You've never even played the game. Never even wanted to play the game, I don't think.
No, probably not.
With Chris Nolan keeping the antagonist of his third and final Batman feature under wraps, speculations run rife over the last little while based on quick notes and dubious rumors. Things began when a report emerged that filming was aiming to kick off around April in New Orleans, speaking in the South, rather than London and Chicago, where the previous films were mostly shot. That news sounds logical, being that the U.S. dollar is taking an absolute beating, apparently, in world markets. Studios are keen in keeping production stateside due to the expense. Also, Warner just completed filming Green Lantern at their own studios with the help of key tax breaks, which are making the state a prime place for productions to shoot.
Does that give any hints to who the bad guy could be?
Well, I'm getting there.
Alrighty.
It's a long road. A long and bumpy road. There came an interesting interview with Morgan Freeman where the actor said he's also heard a spring start date and that there may be more than one villain in the next film. Did we not learn anything? Poison Ivy.
Bane.
Mr. Freeze, Bane. Ugh.
Well, anyway. More action figures then.
The interview started to hint that Freeman was just repeating what a lot of us have already heard online rather than actual new information. But in the same interview, he brought up talk of the Riddler and the old online rumor that Philip Seymour Hoffman might play the Penguin. It's an interesting choice.
I could see him being the Penguin.
He'd be great.
He would.
It needs to be dark after Danny DeVito. So if the timely locale means New Orleans, then people are starting to speculate the villain could be Killer Croc, former wrestler turned criminal thug born with a genetic defect which gave him scaly skin and great strength.
Speaking of scaly skin.
What?
We've watched Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, yikes.
Holy cow.
Yeah, that's... Oh, there's the chill up my spine. Let's not
talk
about
it. There was some creepy action going on there.
There was a gentleman who had some sort of... there was some sort of growths or boils or something on his face.
I think it was a HPV.
Oh, I don't know. Some sort of a... Anyway, his hands looked like... I don't know. It was crazy.
They looked like tree...
Tree limbs or something. Yeah. All very scaly and... And huge and long, and they were clipping parts. I'm going to throw up now.
It was really, really strange and gross.
It was scarring and disturbing.
Anyway, if you're interested, you should check it out. It was kind of fascinating, actually.
Okay, meanwhile, back to villains in Batman.
Right.
Croc is one of the few major Batman villains that hasn't been shown in the films, along with the likes of Clayface, the Mad Hatter, the Ventriloquist, Man-Bat. Ooh, I'd love to see Man-Bat. And more recent villains like Black Mask and Hush from comic series.
Man-Bat, because he's so different from Batman.
Easy.
What the heck? Who came up with that loser name?
He's a man that's like, well, every superhero name is kind of a loser name when you think about it.
Yeah, but
keep
at
it
least
to yourself.
They didn't just take the name and rewrite
it. I said keep it to
it
yourself.
Man-Super. Is there one of them?
He's the dyslexic superhero. Batman, Man-Bat. Man-Bat.
Sorry to all you comic book fans out there.
Man-Bat and his sidekick, Binro.
I have to do my share of mocking.
Binro, stay with me, Robin.
Yes, right.
Warner Brothers Pictures has ditched plans, this'll hurt you, to release Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 in 3D. Opting to open the film in conventional and IMAX theaters in 2D only. Statement from the studio said the reason was, we will not have completed the 3D version of the film within our release date window. Despite everyone's best efforts, we were unable to convert the film in its entirety and meet the highest standards of quality. Oh, no 3D? That's too bad. I couldn't care less.
Well, you know, I have just aside on the 3D.
Okay.
A girl I work with and I have had this conversation a few times about movies made in 3D, and she knows I can't see them very well.
Okay.
She said, have you ever gone to see a 3D in IMAX? Because it's way better. And they have, the glasses are different, they're a lot better quality, and the 3D
Go to IMAX and steal a pair.
Is a lot more obvious.
Okay.
So... See, we always cheap out and go and see it in a regular theater when we go to see 3D. If we really want the full effect of it, and then maybe we wouldn't hate it so much, we should go see it in IMAX.
We don't cheap out. It's just that I can't stomach the, oh, here's your $13 movie ticket. Oh, yeah, and here's your $3 3D IMAX premium on top of that.
I know. I'm just saying.
Our finance officer here will help you facilitate your viewing experience. Yeesh. What else? The news is hardly surprising. After the successful launch of Avatar, studios jumped onto the 3D bandwagon at the start of this year, which we moaned and complained about. Of course, the tide turned, thanks mostly to the studio's own Clash of the Titans. Despite solid box office, the panned modern remake of the 80s cult classic has become the poster child for how terrible post-conversion 3D can be. Similar results on the likes of Alice in Wonderland, Last Airbender, combined with overinflated premium pricing, being charged by theaters, has led to an aversion to 3D in pop culture.
Oh, we aren't the only ones.
Yeah, 3D was a fad. It's still a fad. Connor and Emily and I went to pick up a new AV receiver at Best Buy this past weekend, and we looked at one of the 3D screens with the glasses on, TV screens.
Yep.
It was kind of cool, but... It'd give me a headache after a while, and I just... The novelty...
Aren't we glad we didn't invest in that then, hey?
Ugh. Ugh. What, buy one? A 3D TV?
No. Remember, my dad was into this 3D TV thing. He wanted to invest in it, and he was telling us all about it, and...
It's going to be the next thing.
It seemed like a good idea, goodish idea, but yeah. Now it's not sounding so good. Especially, read that last thing there. The point was driven home.
To studio executives at San Diego Comic-Con this year when a 6,000-strong crowd in Hall H met talk of 3D with indifference and talk of post-converted 3D with loud derision. The geeks have spoken.
They do not like 3D.
We do not like 3D in our grandma's basement.
We hates it.
We hates it, my precious. Despite the ditching of 3D for the first part, oh no. Studio, however, still says it intends to deliver a conventional and IMAX theaters our first installment of the film franchise, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 2, in both 2D and 3D formats in July next year. Blech.
Well, it's not too late for that to get canceled, too.
Ooh, but you know what? I don't even know what CCO stands for. DC Entertainment Representative Jeff Johns has confirmed that the first trailer for the upcoming Green Lantern film will be attached to Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1, opening November 19th.
Wow, that's under a month away.
It is, and the trailer...
Oh, no, just over a month.
And the trailer will also be online around the same time, I'm thinking.
Excellent.
This is interesting. 20th Century Fox and Walden Media, who've been involved with the Narnia films, have teamed up to purchase the film rights to Bill Keane's syndicated comic strip, The Family Circus.
Well, there's something new. Nobody's done that before, have
nope.
they?
Well, no. First starting in 1960, Keane had been producing the single-panel script ever since, and it's become the most widely syndicated cartoon panel in the world. Of course, if you're familiar with it, most of us are, the strip follows an Arizona family, Bill and Thelma, along with their four children. I remember reading that when I was a kid.
Me too.
Bob Hilgenberg and Rob Muir will pen the script for a live-action feature based on the property and the first of a potential family franchise. I don't know. Ooh, this is good news for me. After being linked to the project back in May and then dropping out in August, filmmaker David O. Russell, behind Three Kings and I Heart Huckabees, is not just back in the running, but is now set to tackle a film adaptation of the video game series Uncharted for Sony Pictures. In a press release from the studio, Russell's confirmed to be both directing and writing, sprucing up a previously penned draft by Joshua Oppenheimer and Thomas Dean Donnelly, who wrote Sahara. Critically acclaimed PS3 game series follows fortune hunter Nathan Drake and his quest for famed archaeological treasures. Though the concept sounds familiar, akin to Tomb Raider, Indiana Jones, and so on, the smart execution, clever scripting, and witty voice performances on the games often raised it above the level of many other titles of its kind. 2007's Uncharted Drake's Fortune was the breakout first hit game of the PS3 and has sold around 2.6 million copies so far. The 2009 sequel to that game, Uncharted 2 Among Thieves, also great, was the single most critically acclaimed video game of the year on any format, according to Metacritic, and a major commercial success with more than 3.8 million copies of the game sold worldwide.
You really have to start saying that, like, million.
Million.
Every time you come across the word million, you have to say it like... $3.8 million.
Okay, and I'm going to wrap up Couch Entertainment News with...
Hang on, wait. Don't talk about who they might get to play that role?
Because... No, not yet. It's got to be Nathan Fillion, though.
Well,
it's got to be Nathan.
That'd be cool if it was.
Nathan, get on the phone with the guys. It comes as no huge surprise, but DreamWorks Animation is moving forward with a sequel to this year's How to Train Your Dragon and has already locked all the key voices from the first film. Jay Baruchel, Craig Ferguson, love him, America Ferrera, Jonah Hill, Christopher Mintz-Plasse, TJ Miller, and Kirsten Wiig will all reprise their roles. It was co-written and directed by two guys, and this time Dean DeBlois is taking the reins on both writing and directing, and Chris Sanders will be executive producer. Of course, it's released on Blu-ray this week as well, so that's exciting. I believe it's released on Friday, so make sure you go get it.
I will be.
DreamWorks Animation has always been seen as driven more by profit motive than creative storytelling, unlike Pixar at Disney. Dragon, however, slightly changed that perception with stellar reviews to match its impressive $489.6 million worldwide so far.
Nice job.
And the sequel is planned for an early 2013 release.
Huh.
And that be Couch Entertainment News, me hearties.
Yes, it would be.
So we forgot to talk about something last week that has now become a family thing.
Yes, we have.
Talk about it.
Well, we were talking about, we have been the last couple episodes talking about new shows, new series on TV this season. So one that we forgot to mention is No Ordinary Family.
Not to be confused with Modern Family, which is entirely different.
Right. No Ordinary Family centers on the Powells, a typical American family whose members gain special abilities after their plane crash lands in the Amazon River.
Dun, 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 dun.
So, that basically happens in the pilot episode. They crash, and then they come home, and then they start noticing things, and it's just kind of continuing on in each episode. So, it has a great cast. Michael Chiklis is in it. Julie Benz. Have we seen her in anything else?
Yeah, Julie Benz was in... She played Darla, I think was the name of the character, in Angel and Buffy.
Oh,
She was the vampire who converted Angel.
Ah.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, she's very good.
Cool. Kay Panabaker, don't know who that is. Jimmy Bennett, Autumn Reeser, Romany Malco, and Stephen Collins.
Yes.
But Michael Chiklis is great in it.
He is fantastic.
I really enjoy watching
him. I mean, obviously most people would know him from The Shield, and his character in this couldn't be more different. His character in this reminds me a lot of when he played Ben Grimm, the Thing, in the Fantastic Four movies.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. But less gruff, more warm. He reminds me of, well, and there's no surprise that you directly, almost immediately in this show, think of The Incredibles.
Right.
Because it's a lot like that. Dad is very well-meaning and kind of unassuming, and he's a big teddy bear guy.
Bumbling a little.
Yeah.
And Mom is, yeah.
She's a scientist, researcher.
Yep. And then there's a son and a daughter.
Yeah.
In the family, so.
And son is the youngest.
Yes. Yeah.
So a lot of parallels. You can spot a lot of parallels to The Incredibles. Not by any means a live-action version of The Incredibles. They're very different.
Yeah, and their superpowers are different, too.
Yes.
But our children, aside from the odd little bedroom scene and
Smoochie Moochie, our kids have been watching
it.
Yeah.
And they really like it.
Yeah. Connor actually said, can we watch another one right now, Dad? And we had to break it to them that the reality of television, that it is, aside from having it on DVD maybe, it's once a week.
You gotta wait for the next one.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. Yeah, so. This generation's not used to having to wait, so.
Nope. Instant gratification, you ungrateful little rats. Yeah. I mean, sorry.
So it would be interesting to get their perspective on this, but due to our hectic schedule...
Yes. What we may do is, after we watch the next episode, maybe we'll pull them in and actually have a panel discussion of No Ordinary Family.
Yes, or as Connor would like to do,
yes,
he would like to have a View from the Kids
View from the segment. Kids segment, which would
So maybe
always...
we'll have to create a new segment, and it will be called View from the Kids,
yes,
and they can talk about it.
Another thing that we... I watched with the kids recently was the Flash TV series from the 80s that only lasted one season. Yeah, really, it was neat to see it again. We just, I just showed them the kind of the pilot episode. It's like a feature length, starring John Wesley Shipp and Amanda Pays, and pretty good cast. Music was done by Danny Elfman. Stan Winston Studios designed the Flash suit. So pretty cool.
It was a pretty cool suit.
Yep. And actually, speaking of Flash, I'm going to go back to Couch Entertainment News for a sec without the intro. Green Lantern writers Mark Guggenheim, Michael Green, and Greg Berlanti. And Greg Berlanti is actually involved in, he's a producer on No Ordinary Family.
So he is.
Crazy.
He likes his superheroes.
He does. They'll be turning in a final draft script for the Flash film to Warner Brothers Pictures in December. The trio will also turn in a treatment for the Green Lantern sequel at the same time. No one is yet set to direct The Flash, although rumors that Berlanti would get the job now seem doubtful. I wonder why. A source tells Deadline he won't want to direct it because he kind of wants to do something in between size first before attempting something that large. If Warner Brothers does like the script and wants to direct it, great, but that's a lot of ifs. And a lot of it is moot if they don't dig the script, says the quote. Green Lantern wasn't real until the studio liked the draft. Flash is expected to be the studio's next superhero feature project after Green Lantern, Batman 3, and the Superman film. And there's also a casting rumor going around that Hangover star Bradley Cooper, who played Face in The A-Team.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And had that background supporting friend role on Alias,
yep.
is under consideration for the role of Barry Allen and The Flash.
Huh.
If that's true, it makes an amusing irony because Cooper was originally going to play Green Lantern but lost out to Ryan Reynolds, and Reynolds was originally set to play The Flash until he got Green Lantern.
Huh.
So there you go.
They made a swap around there.
Dirty blonde pretty boy.
Swap it up.
Dirty blonde pretty boys playing the superheroes. What superhero could I ever play? No one. I could play Wolverine, maybe.
You'd be a good penguin. Oh, it's not a superhero.
Wow,
it's
that
a villain.
Hurts. Is that because my breath smells like tuna? My breath smells like cat food. No, my cat's breath smells like cat food. Oh, the Simpsons. Good times. I hope there's a new Simpsons Halloween special this year. There better be.
Yeah, there probably will be.
You know what? Back to real life. This has been a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test. If this were a real emergency, it would have been, I don't know.
What?
Back to your real lives. We now return your life to its regularly scheduled stuff that you were supposed to be doing instead of listening to the show.
Right. Exactly.
So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We love you.
Bye.
Keep it real. Bye. You've been listening to View from the Couch, a DVD Verdict podcast. View from the Couch is available exclusively on DVDverdict.com. Watch for new episodes every week. Thanks for your continued support. Kent and Michelle appreciate it. Be sure to visit DVDverdict.com for the latest in DVD and theatrical release reviews, DVD release information, talent interviews, event coverage, and much, much more.